Aloha, everyone. It's Friday, April 8th, 2005, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, and we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am Todd, the geek from Geek News Central, and welcome to the podcast. Hey, woo, it's been a crazy week, and it's going to be even more crazy as the month goes on, and I have been absolutely swamped. And, you know, it's like a race, you know, it's like you get a little bit ahead, and then someone passes you up, and you have to run even that much harder to catch up, but it's like I'm chasing myself around the track. I really need to be cloned. I need some, because there is not enough hours in the day to do what needs to be done in the time that I have to do it. It's been absolutely crazy. But I'll get into some of that craziness here in a little bit. But hey, if you're joining the show for the first time, we want to, of course, welcome you and welcome you to our family. And hope you enjoy the show. And I know some of you are finding us for the very first time via a Reuters article that came out. And if you found us via that article, we want to welcome you to the show and sit back and enjoy. Everyone else, make sure that you get over to the main website at www.geeknewscentral.com and check out what we have there. And if you want to listen to old shows, go ahead and click on the podcast archive or the podcast button on the main site to get to our archive. Now, getting into that, this afternoon I was called by a reporter out of D.C., and he was from Reuters, and he basically had a little question and answer time, and I don't know what's going to be on the article. It's not even going to be up by the time you guys download the show in the morning, but I know it's going to be up before the next podcast. So I wanted to make sure everyone got a warm welcome, and it was kind of a preliminary thing to make sure that we welcome them to the show. Speaking of which, we basically discussed Tech Podcast and what's going on over there, and wow, you know, it's just, it's been amazing. We've had a lot of people submit to become members, and we're starting to go through those applications. So if you're one of those people that are waiting on word, we are going to start getting to you. And make sure you visit the techpodcast.com website, because we've got our new membership document up there, and we also have our charter. So they give you something to review on what we're doing. I do want to thank everyone that went over to Podcast Alley and voted. I promised I was only going to ask you once, and that's it. But those of you that did vote, I want to thank you, and we're still hanging out in the top five. And I do know there was a big influx in the last couple of days to people to our mailing list. And again, tonight I'll have a link on the show notes to our mailing list, and get signed up. And periodically we're going to be making good offers to everyone that is on that list, special things that you're not going to get otherwise. As Jim Williams found out last week, winning the $20 prize for subscribing and paying attention to what was going on in the mailing list. Now, I want to point your attention at a show that I like. It's called The Feed, and I'm going to put the link up on the show notes tonight. This guy's got a great podcast. It's another type, techie type, so get over there and take a look at it, and you know, download it and see what you think. Provide the podcaster some feedback. Now, I got an email this afternoon from a young man. His name's Edmund. He's 15, and he's getting ready to start his own podcast. And he was basically looking for some help in trying to get set up. You know, obviously, 15-year-olds don't have a lot of disposable income. So I told Edmund that if he got his show together and everything, that we would host him on our primary server. So if there's anybody else out there that wants to become a podcaster and it's tech related, let us know and we might be able to help you out providing some server space so that you can get started and get you on the road of podcasting. It's the least that we can do to help everybody out. I think it's kind of interesting that because it goes from one extreme to the other. And, we had a guy earlier in the week that we talked about, John, who was 60, who did his first podcast. And now we've got a young man, the age of 15, that's getting ready to do his. All you need, folks, is a computer and a cheap mic, a $7.95 mic from Walmart. That's all it really takes. And, a little bit else of know-how, not too much. And you can get podcasting right away. You don't need all these fancy interfaces. Everything is available for free on the internet. And with that, you can get started today. So if any of you have been thinking about it, I encourage you to dip your foot in the water. And of course, anyone that starts podcasting because they were listening to us, we want to hear about it. We want to know if we were the ones that drove you to start podcasting. Now I got a bunch of listener email, and I also do have some items here from some of the guys that I've been collaborating with. Any of you that are interested in actually helping out the Tech Podcast website, where we have a little banner ad, and it's not very big. It's one of those little itty-bitty ones, and I'm going to put the links up today to those files. So if you guys want to help us out, help us drive some traffic over there, download one of those badges and link it back to our Tech Podcast site. We'd really appreciate that. If you feel up to it, if you want to, go ahead. If not, it's fine also. Earlier in the week, I asked the people on the mailing list for some information on, basically, what do you guys want me to talk about during the show? What do you want me to cover? And I got an email from Andy, who put some pretty good comments about where he goes for tech news and information. And he was asking, where do I find the stuff that I put up on Geek News Central? Well, basically, Andy, I really look at about 200 feeds is what I look at. And I think what I'll do is I'll try in the next couple of days to export that OPML file out of my newsreader, and I'll put that up on the website for you guys to download. But those 200 news feeds basically give me all the information that I normally post to the weblog. Now, there are some arbitrary lists that I'll go through every 2 or 3 days, which maybe will add up to another 200 for about a total of 400 websites that I review. But where you could go today is dailyrotation.com. That is a great site that a lot of people go to. There's a link to it on my right-hand sidebar of my site, dailyrotation.com. It's a great place to start to find tech news. But when I get that up there, I'll let you know, and I think you'll enjoy the sites that I read. Another writer asked, and it's here, was Al from Rhode Island. He asked, how about the implications of the many forces working fiercely to make podcasting a commercial-driven enterprise? Well, there's a few people trying to drive it to a commercial enterprise. And let's face it, podcasting is about having fun. It's about being creative and being live to hard drive. It's about it's about everyday folks. It's about your neighbors being able to create content that, that you might be interested in listening to. I think there's about 4,500 podcasts in the iPodder.org directory right now. So how many people are going to be able to be on this commercial wave? Well, I don't think very many because, there's only so many hours in a day that people can listen to podcasts. It's just like radio. You listen to radio on the way to work. You listen to it on the way home, so maybe then you get home and you turn on the TV. Or maybe you're at your workplaces, you can listen to an MP3 player, maybe you can listen to a download over the internet. So every person's amount of time he can listen is limited. So everyone is going to pick, the top 10 shows that they're going to listen to on a weekly basis. Of course, the population is wide enough, and there's enough people with MP3 players that gives quite a, it spreads around quite a bit of listeners. But with Adam Curry and the people over at Odeo doing what they're doing, hey, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I think within the next few days, we're going to find out what their game plan is. And they've actually, Adam, I think today released a little smidgen of their player that they're making. I think they're calling a podcast. What do they call it? I don't even know what the name of their little application is, but I don't know if it's going to be on their website or whatever. But I basically think these guys are going to be enablers. They're going to enable people that would not necessarily make a podcast normally to make a podcast. And he's talked about having like a director relationship. And I don't know if that's going to work. You know, I do all my production. I look up the information for the shows. I produce the content. I go ahead and put the content on the website and get it produced. But it kind of makes me think the way they have hinted around that maybe they're just going to have people that do the talking and then other people that go back in and clean the audio up. You know, you guys know my rule. I don't clean up audio per se. You know, if I cough or something, I'll try to do that. But otherwise, whatever goes on, and it gets put down, and that's it. Some people are real meticulous and spend 3-4 hours cleaning up their podcast every night. I typically don't do that. If I'm having a really, really bad night, I might, but generally, no. So do we want to listen to polished content? Isn't polished content already being produced for us via professional radio speakers on radio stations? So, you know, I think this raw, live, from the heart, you know, you all are part of my family. When I'm speaking to you guys, it's like, okay, you know, you guys are my best friends. We're sitting around talking story. And I think if this thing gets commercialized and people lose that touch with their listeners, I think people are going to tune out. It's going to lose its you know, uniqueness. And let's just be honest. You know, there's a lot of people doing audio shows out on the internet right now, a lot. And it's been going on for a long time. The only difference is we have a delivery vehicle. I can record this show. I can put it on the internet. Tomorrow morning, you wake up, you grab your MP3 player, you walk to your car, you plug your little FM transmitter in, you turn your car stereo on to the station that your FM transmitter from, and you drive to work listening to me, and it was automated. You don't have to have your computer. You can listen to it at your computer, but podcasting has gave everyone the power of walkaway content. You can stand up, walk away with it. You don't have to be tied to that network. What do I think is going to happen? I think initially maybe the iPods or the MP3 players are going to be Wi-Fi capable. You know, you're gonna drive up to a Starbucks and you're gonna walk in and get your latte, and you're gonna, while it's there, your iPod's gonna hook up with the Wi-Fi connection in there, and it's gonna automatically pull some new shows down. Or you're in your office building. It's going to, you know, it all depends on where you're at, but I think devices are going to get smarter. I think your cars are going to get smarter. So commercialize, we're a couple of years away from commercializing, but I know what I'm doing with techpodcast.com, with this group that I'm working with. We're working towards building a good brand, making content that people want to listen to, making content that is work safe, child safe, making it friendly for advertisers. Sure, if we can make a little money, that's great. If we don't, we don't care. We're going to have a good time doing it regardless. So enough on that. But, you know, I think I've talked about this enough before about this enterprise, you know, where podcasting's going. Honestly, let's just have fun. We're all going to have fun together. And when it quits being fun, we won't do no shows no more. But for right now, we're going to have a blast. Did get an email from Mark. He kind of speculated. He thought Microsoft was in cahoots with Adam. But, you know, that's rumor control. I think Adam has basically said, no, they're not. But, you know, time will tell. We'll see what happens. But, you know, this is the kind of stuff I want from you guys. Send me this type of questions and we'll go into it. And it kind of lengthens my initial commentary. But as long as it's productive stuff, I'll continue to answer what I can and still cover the rest of the content that we have for the evening. Hey, I want to tell you about the mobile version of Skype. It is available only for cell phones powered by Windows Mobile for Pocket PC from Microsoft, among which many have built-in Wi-Fi. Just imagine, you can carry out Skype phone calls over the internet from Wi-Fi hotspots at Starbucks or any other Wi-Fi hotspot with your cell phone. Get the latest information about cell phones powered by Microsoft at www.msmobiles.com. Nobody else gives you the whole story. And thank you for MS Mobiles for being our sponsor. All right, I'd like to get into the content tonight that I have. And I'm real pleased. I found a whole bunch of stuff that's just great information tonight. So I'm going to have a lot of links for you. So make sure you visit the website when you, you know, basically when you have time, and check this stuff out. Now, you know that the oral arguments went down last month between Grokster and the motion, well, actually MGM. And those arguments are now online. So if you want to read this 55-page argument that the Electronic Frontier Foundation argued, go ahead and read it. I'll put the link up there. I don't think I want to go through it, but those of you that are interested in that kind of stuff, please check it out. I read a real good article tonight on Mark Cuban's website, and he talks about the countdown for the extinctions of CD is about to begin. And anyway, what he was doing, he was on a road trip for the Mavericks, and he was walking through a mall with his iPod, and he wanted to score a soundtrack for the latest Kill Bill. And basically, he wanted the woohoo song. And basically, he got to thinking about it, and, you know, he's on the road, he's got his laptop, but his laptop really doesn't have a CD player in it. He had his iPod with him, it was already preloaded, but how is it, you know, he's thinking, how am I going to, if I want to buy a song right now, how can I do it? And he's in a mall, you know, so his idea was at some point, these people are going to have to get smart and make it so that we can buy music like we online, make it so we can buy music in a mall like we buy it online. So, you know, you're walking around, you got your USB stick on, your key ring. You know, believe it or not, a lot of people walk around with a USB stick, believe that or not. Or even the store could sell them, you know, but you walk into a store and you say, yeah, I want to buy this and this and this song. And you go to their, like a little kiosk and you plug your USB in, you put your credit card in and you boink, boink, boink. And you pick the songs you want to buy and you download them and they're yours. Well, it doesn't exist today. And in a mall, when he's on the road, you know, it's useless for him to buy a CD. He has no way to get it onto his computer and then onto his iPod. So he's thinking that the music industry needs to wake up and come up with something like this. And someone needs to get innovative. And what he thinks is going to happen is when that does happen, it's going to, you know, basically the music industry sales are going to go up because, you know, kids are in the mall. They got some disposable income. You know, they like to go to the mall and hang out. They like to go to the CD shop. But let's say they don't have $18 for an individual. But let's say they do have a couple of bucks, $3-$4 that they want to spend on a couple of singles. Hey, you know, that's some disposable income that they can spend right there. And it's easier because they don't have to ask mom and dad for permission to log on to Apple iTunes and download the music. Not only that, he's saying what's going to happen in 18 months when I'm on a new media player, and it might not be an Apple iPod, you know, if he's downloaded it from iTunes via his Mac account or via his, you know, via his Mac PC, then what's he going to do? Is he going to have to go out and buy the music again because of the DRM included on some of these services? So he's got a great point, and I think it is a very worthy read. And so go over there. Check out his website. I'll have it in the show notes tonight. And, of course, leave comments on his website if you think he's right on the mark or whatever. But it looks like this one has already got, like, almost 100 comments. So it's been a hot article. And it actually came up on the 4th of April. So it came to my attention today when it got into the Daypop listing. Okay. Apparently, those of you that are using Blogger have had a lot of headaches this last week. Blogger's been down. And, you know, I understand people's pain. When my website goes offline for a little while, you know, I almost go into a panic attack. So I feel your pain, people, and just keep your heads up, and hopefully Google gets their act together and gets Blogger back on track the way it should be. There's a great article, and it's not really tech. It's in the New Yorker, and it's quite a read. And if any of you are really interested in, like, historical stuff and then link that into mathematics and photography, you're going to want to check this article out. And it basically talks about the restoration of some tapestries from the Medieval Art Museum in Manhattan. and they did some renovations on the Hunt of the Unicorn hang. Basically, they're huge, huge tapestries, the unicorn tapestries. And it talks about what they found when they basically were doing some of the restoration. Totally fascinating read. I totally encourage you to go over there and read this article. If nothing else, it's just what they had to go through to be able to recreate the images that they had to take. You know, they basically had to take multiple shots of this tapestry. And in order to seam that all together, the hundreds and hundreds of pictures that were taken was almost a near impossible task. But it took a couple of major mathematical geniuses to fix it. I found I'm sure this has been out for a while, but I just got a link to it today. It's called Keyhole. And it talks about the ultimate interface to the planet. And it is pretty cool. I played around with it for a while this afternoon. And you can download a 7-day free trial. It's, let's see, for personal use, it's $29.95. And basically, it's satellite imagery. And you can fly around. It's got an animation type thing where you can actually, you know, if you put in the address to your house and you can fly a circle around your house, or you can fly up a street, and it is pretty cool. Now, the resolution on it is I don't even know, but it's good. It's really cool, and you can fly almost anywhere in the world, or take a look at areas that are out there that you normally maybe would not get to see. Did you guys hear about the people that are standing in line for the Star Wars movie? They are standing in line at a theater that's not even going to show the movie. And these guys know this. They're not going to leave. They're protesting because the movie's not going to be there. The movie's going to be premiering down the street. But yet, they're saying, oh, we wanted to have it here. So they're actually out there waiting for a movie that's not even going to happen. Are these guys like a few cards short of a full deck? I've never been able to understand that. I think we've talked about this before, and how people are just hanging out for weeks on end for a movie to start where they could just go online, buy the tickets. You know, I guess they're having fun. It's like we know that people go to product launches all the time, and they may go a day or two early. But hello, let's get a clue. Let's get a life. Okay, MSN Messenger number 7 has been released. So those of you that like to use MSN Messenger, go ahead and check that out. For those of you that are keeping track of what's going on in the podcasting scene, Dave Weiner has started a site. And I think you're really going to enjoy the commentary he's got on there. It's called podcatch.com. And I also heard Chris McIntyre over at Podcast Alley is getting ready to launch a blog too. Matter of fact, I've been writing pretty hard here over the last week and saying, you know, you got a great site, you got a great forums, you got great information on there. How come you're not blogging? So I think maybe I pushed him a little bit and he is going to do that. So look forward to a blog starting over on Chris's site. And of course, over on Dave's also, you can go over there and check that out now. For those of you that long, long time ago bought encyclopedias, you know, encyclopedias obviously have been online for a long time, but now Encyclopedia Britannica has RSS support. So it's pretty interesting what they've got concocted over there. So I'm going to put the link up. You guys can go over and check out what Encyclopedia Britannica is doing with RSS. Might be something that you can turn your kids on to as another resource. All right. Scoble is reporting that MSN is saying that there were 4.5 million MSN spaces were created in 4 months. Think about that. 4.5 million spaces were created in just 4 months. Wow, that is just totally amazing. Now, I wonder how many of those spaces. Now, I know I went over there and grabbed a couple of spaces, too. I got the ones that I wanted, the names I wanted. You know, it's kind of like squatting on spaces, right? But anyway, I just wonder how many of those spaces are being updated. It'd be nice to see some information on that. I'm sure Technorati and those guys will be able to come up with some stats like that. Maybe they have them all already out there. But the MSN Messenger 7 has got some integration for the spaces. So those of you that have MSN Spaces sites can now use MSN Messenger to basically have some integration there. All right, those of you that are on Comcast, I guess you were without broadband for a while last night. Apparently, they suffered about a 5 or 6 hour outage. And, you know, I'm surprised that these companies do as good a job as they do. I've been pretty happy over the years with my broadband connection here in Hawaii. And I can count on one hand the number of times it's been down. And usually it's for a short time. So, you know, it's a testament to the techs that are out there that are taking care of these networks to keep them up. So it'll be interesting to see what happened to Comcast here tonight. All right, those of you that are Mac Mini users and are trying to figure out what you're going to do with your Mini. And I know a lot of you bought Minis just to play around with it. And some of you bought Minis for the first time. And, of course, I'm a first-time Mac user by buying a Mini. And I've gotten quite a bit of usefulness out of it, and I'm going to be starting my 1 week dedicated utilization of that system here shortly. But I have been thinking seriously about putting this thing into my home network, basically making it part of my media center downstairs. But some people have taken it a step farther and have made it the home media center. It's basically controlling everything in a house. So they've made a special, they've got a cabinet that fits the Mac Mini perfectly. So any of you that are out there that are getting ready to build a house, or you're getting ready to remodel and want to modernize and make your house a smart house, what a great way and a great price to actually put a centralized computer in a rack with great software to control the stuff in your home. So, hey, you know, this stuff's going to only get better over time. And I would imagine a day where we're all going to have a closet that's going to be like some of the server racks that we see at our places of work, where we've got all our mini little servers in there and switches and routers, because I think the homes of tomorrow are going to become that much more wired. All right, have you guys heard about this new battery that Panasonic launched in Japan? It's called an OxyRide. And it's is not available in the United States yet, but it is going to be available in June. I heard about this a couple of days ago, and I'm seeing my wife is still in Japan. I gave her a call, and I said, hey, honey, why don't you bring 4 or 5 packages of AA's and AAA's home with you so that we can check them out? And there's a report on Engadget that is basically saying that, you know, Panasonic is claiming that these things are going to give you like 50% longer life. And they're saying they're the most revolutionary battery to be put into existence in like 40 years. That's quite a statement, considering what you know, EverReady, Energizer, Duracell, what all those guys have done with battery technology. But they do say, the people that have tested it say that for digital cameras, if you've got a digital camera that takes regular AA's or AAA batteries, the performance they got out of it was basically about 2.4 times as many photos were able to be taken with the OxyRide batteries as he was using just regular alkaline batteries. So I'm going to have her get those home, and I'm going to put them in some devices, and we're going to do some in-home testing here, and I will let you know what the results of that. It's probably going to be a little bit before we get those tests done, but hey, you know, I'm having her scoop all this cool stuff up in Japan that's only available there, and bringing it home with her. All right, those of you that have iPod Shuffles, if you're worried about your battery going dry, there is a battery add-on pack that you can buy. It's $29, and it extends the life of your iPod Shuffle out to 40 hours. You know, you can't even load the thing with 40 hours worth of music. So I guess you're going to listen to your songs 3 or 4 times, but hey, 40 hours is cool, especially if, you know, if you've got kids and they're playing around with them, and they take them to school and forget to charge them. And so I guess it'll be, it's a good accessory to have. Okay, next week is patch day for Microsoft, and they're going to be releasing some critical patches on the 12th of April. So make sure that you have auto update running, and you're going to want to also make sure that you just don't run auto update, that you also, when you load Word, that you run the update on Word also, so that, you know, a lot of times people forget about that. They'll run the auto update on Windows to upgrade the operating system, but they'll forget to upgrade Word or Outlook. Some of you run those applications independently. Some of you run them as the complete package. But make sure that you go out and upgrade those applications also, because those, you know, especially Outlook, it is just as critical as the rest of the operating system. Now, some of you are familiar with Moore's Law. Moore's Law is basically the technology, the speed of processors, the size of hard drives. He developed this theory that everything will double in 2 years. So every 2 years, you're going to see, you know, you go from a 100 gig hard drive to 200 to 400, 800 to a terabyte. And so far, everything's been holding pretty close to that law, including processor speed, RAM, et cetera, et cetera. And he talks about, there's a good interview in Ziff Davis that talks about, you know, what's basically happened over the last 40 years since the Moore's Law has been into effect. And he says at some point, probably they're going to have to change Moore's Law. And he initially had set it up so that technology, he had basically said his theory was it every year there was a doubling. And he says it may be in the near future it's going to have to change to where it's like every 3 years, because, you know, with them trying to put more transistors on silicon chips, you know, it's becoming tougher. You know, they're going to have to go to a bigger chip. And of course, new technologies are always going to come available that people are going to make discoveries. And so we'll see. You know, I know in my lifetime, I've got a number of years left. I hope I have about 60 years left on this planet. Can you imagine in about 50 years what we're going to have sitting on our desk if his law still is true in 50 years, the amount of processor speed? You know, we're not going to be typing anymore. This thing's going to be, we're going to be jacked in, like I talked about the other night, like I want to be, you know, so that I can multitask when I'm in the shower and doing things that are non-productive. Okay, those of you, there's a Trojan horse out that's taking down some smartphones. So, fair warning, be careful what you are downloading over your phones. Make sure that you're watching your instant messages on who's writing you. If you don't know who it is, I wouldn't read it. I would delete it. I know most of you have phones that give you the availability to see the title and the title only. I don't know what it takes to get your phone infected, but there is some stuff out there. So, and basically what it causes the phones to not be able to be turned on. So it's a pretty serious bug. So I want to hear from you guys. If any of you have a smartphone that it gets taken out by this Trojan horse, let us know, because we want to hear your experience on that. Did you guys hear about the guy at Best Buy? I put a post up on it on the website earlier today. This, you know, can you just think about this for a second? You go to Best Buy, you have your kid needs a stereo put in his car, you get the stereo put in the car, and then they make a mistake and they say, oh, we're going to give you a credit for the installation. You don't have to pay for the installation. Thank you for being a customer. A couple days later, they call you and say, hey, you need to come down here and pay your installation bill or we're going to call the police on you. Okay, well, you told me I didn't have to pay you, so how come I have to come down and give you some money? Well, come down and give us the money. So what this guy did is he owed him, I think it was $114 or something to that effect. Anyway, he is a tour agent, and he gives out $2 bills on his tours and stuff. So he had $2 bills that he had gotten from the bank that were sequentially numbered, serialized. And he went down there, and basically the customer service or the person he was trying to pay said, I'm not going to take those. He says, well, either you take them or you sue me or whatever. So she takes the money, starts marking with that little magic pen they have, and one of them smears for some reason. And the next thing you know, this guy's in handcuffs. Best Buy calls the police on this guy, has him arrested. He goes downtown. They have to wait for Secret Service to show up. Secret Service says, yeah, the bill's legit. What would you guys do? Imagine that. Getting arrested for paying in hard, cold currency because people were either too ignorant or just didn't know, you know, maybe she didn't realize that there was $2 bills still in circulation. I know that people haven't seen them a lot, but you can go to your banks and get them. Now, they're kind of fun to hand out from time to time, and I even do that for kids' birthdays and that kind of stuff. Okay, there's an article on Boing Boing that talks about, and the title says, International MPAA / RIAA to ISPs, cut your own throats. And they want ISPs to voluntarily adopt a code of conduct. And I just can't believe what they have done, what they're asking ISPs to do. And it's kind of like a veiled threat. Go ahead and do this and we'll support you. But here's what they're going to do. Here's what they're asking ISPs to do. Remove references and links to sites or services that do not respect the copyrights of right holders. In other words, they want ISPs to go out and browse people's websites to see where they're linking to. They want to require subscribers to consent in advance to disclosure of their identity in response to a reasonable complaint of intellectual property infringement by an established right holder defense organization by right holders whose intellectual property is being infringed. Are they smoking crack? Okay, here's another one. Implement instant messaging to communicate with infringers. Implement filtering technologies to block sites that are substantially dedicated to illegal file sharing or download services. Voluntary store data for copyright enforcement. Oh my goodness. Well, we all know this is not going to happen. But they're trying to force this on international ISPs and get to people to voluntarily do that. Now, if I remember correctly, I think the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, protects ISPs by the sheer fact that they don't go into email, that they don't preview people's websites. Now, I may be wrong on that, but can you just absolutely imagine your ISP doing that? I know what I would do. All right, cancel. I don't share files. But if my ISP would be so stupid to do this, I would say, I don't want to do business with you. So yeah, you're right. Boing Boing has it right. ISPs would be cutting their own throats. Okay, those of you that are blogging, there's a great article out by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I know some of you are concerned that your jobs may be affected by your blogging. So a lot of people try to blog anonymously so that they can say whatever they want to say, but you know, sometimes it doesn't take a lot for a employer to figure out who's saying what. So what they've got here is the EFF has basically a brief on how to blog anonymously, and basically it talks about protecting yourself so that if you do say something that pisses your employer off, that they won't fire you. We all know that some bloggers have gotten fired. So this is a great article for everyone to read, and not necessarily because you're writing about your work, but it talks about protecting your identity and information that could be used against you, really. Okay, Google has started delivering factual answers, and this was, I believe, started today or within the last couple of days. Yeah, it was on Thursday. So what you do now is, if you put a question, I do this on Google all the time. I'll say, what is this? Or what is that? Or define, I ask Google questions, and it's pretty good. It gives me a lot of answers. But what it's going to do now is, say, for example, you say you write in the search query, Portugal population, and Google is going to return the answer 10.5 million. At the very top of the search engine results with a link to the page that has that statistical data. So this is really, really good. And I think it's going to be great for, if they really get the information linked correctly to wikis and stuff that are out there on certain subjects. Smart move on Google's part. And I definitely am going to use it. I ask Google questions all the time. Now, somebody did ask me a couple days ago, if Google's a sponsor on this website because we talk about them so much. No, they're not. It's just, Google does a lot of innovative stuff. They do stuff that irritates me at times too, but they are not a sponsor on this site. And, it goes back to a comment that one of our lady listeners made, and she basically said thanks for disclosing when you do have a sponsor. You know, if you're talking about a product, I want to know if you're using it or if there's someone that is paying you to talk about it. And I will always disclose information when I have been paid to talk about a product, or when someone gives me a product for free. And if I try it and it was a freebie, I'll tell you it's a freebie and I'll give you my honest assessment. Okay, the shuttle has been rolled out and there is definitely concerns that they're going to be able to meet their May 15th launch date. It had a few little issues, but it is at the pad and they are continuing, they're progressing towards the launch date. They have about a 2 to 3 week launch window. So the controllers are saying they've got about a 50-50 chance of getting this, getting her in the air and getting her back in space. So let's all keep our fingers crossed that the shuttle is gets off deck on time. Now on the Mars rover front, NASA has extended that mission by 18 months. Now, I think this is terrific because here are some taxpayer dollars that really have paid off. Look at the amount of science they've been able to collect. Now, it's estimated that it's costing like about $3 million a month to keep the two rovers, you know, keep the mission going and all the, you know, the support that goes along with that. But think about that, folks. These bad boys have been on the deck for a long time. And they're still operating and still doing what they're supposed to do. You know, for all intents and purposes, they thought by now that the solar arrays would have collected so much dust that they would not be able to operate. But now that we're getting into, well, actually, we are into basically the Mars summer over there, and the rovers are getting a lot of sunlight now, so they're getting a lot of work done, and they're buzzing all over the place. So if you guys have not been over to the NASA site in a while, you need to go over there and check out what's going on with the Mars rovers. They're still sending back all kinds of stuff, and even though the updates on the site are not as often, it's a lot of great, great info. Well, folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I've got everything covered that I needed to cover. I do want to remind you to please go over and check out the feed. That's a great show. Send the podcaster some comments on what you think about it. Also, make sure you join the mailing list. And what I will do is when the Reuters article comes out, I will make sure that I send out an email with that link so that you guys can all go check that out and see what they've had to say about Geek News Central and the Tech Podcast website. Now, if any of you guys that are new listeners are Mambo experts, I still really need a Mambo expert. And I need someone to work with us. I just have too much stuff going on. You know, I can't offer anybody anything for pay right now. It'll be totally voluntary. But if you have an inclination to work with Mambo, if you know something about, if you're a good graphics person, drop us an email. We really would appreciate your help. We'll give you all kinds of credit. If you've got a weblog, we'll point some pointers to it. Whatever it takes to, we do some trading here and do some horse trading so that we can, I get some more things done that we need to get done over there. Also, I'm getting ready to really get hot and heavy into the Podcast Awards website. I have got to finish up the design on that, and I'm really going to start looking for some sponsors. So if any of you out there are going to be wanting to get your business seen on the Podcast Awards site that's going to be launching here in May, you're definitely going to want to get in contact with me. And what's basically going to happen there is we are expecting hundreds of thousands of hits to that site when that contest gets started on June 15th. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be a nomination process. There's going to be a separate category, about 15 to 18 categories of podcasts that you're going to be able to, you know, you're going to be able to nominate people for. You're going to be able to, once the nomination period's over and we tally all that information up and review those sites and make sure they fit in the right categories and get them placed, then we're going to start the voting process. And the voting process is, I think what we're planning on right now is you're going to be able to vote once a day. So the podcasters that are out there are going to be able to basically get their listeners involved. And we're going to run the voting long enough so that podcasters that don't put out shows every day, or, you know, they put out once a week or twice a week, are going to get it, be able to put out enough information in advance to their listeners so that they can get over there and vote for them. And then, of course, in November, we'll have the awards at Podcast Expo. We want to give out some great prizes. And in order to do that, we're going to need some great sponsors. So I think you're going to get a large return on your dollar by having your site logo on the Podcast Awards site. Basically, it's going to be there for a year because we'll leave it up there once the awards are finished. So, and I think it's going to get an extremely amount of exposure. So if your company is interested in being a sponsor for the Podcast Awards, you need to send an email to me. Now, you can send it to podcastawards@gmail.com. So it's podcastawards@gmail.com. Now, I have I'm not participating. The Geek News Central podcast is not participating in the Podcast Awards. You can nominate me all you want once we start, but guess what? All those are going to get thrown out, and we're not going to be in the running. I just can't run the contest. It's just not fair. It won't work. And we're going to have independent people that are not podcasters are going to do verifications on the votes, etc. But that site is going to take a lot of my time to get ready. And I really do need people that really want to help. And I mean really want to help. So that means to be actively involved and I can hand a task off and have people go run with it. It's going to be a pretty big deal. And everyone that's going to participate is going to obviously get a lot of good credit. So thanks for tuning in. Make sure that you send us an email to geek@geeknewscentral.com, or you can call us on Skype at Geek News Central. Call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365, and we will see you again on next Tuesday. Oh, almost forgot. Remember 64. Think about 64. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, folks. We'll see you later. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye.